You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Corinthians 4 verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. And so, whenever I travel, I usually overpack. I always overpack. This is just something my wife can tell you. I'm just like the type of person that always has to have every base covered. How many of you are like that? You understand? You're like the person that has to have every base covered. And so, it's like I bring weight. I always bring too much clothes. I always do it. And so, and so me and my wife are slightly different. My wife sometimes, so when you go to conference, you know, we go to Tucson conference. And so usually in the daytime, we wear casual, and in the evening, it's more formal. So you've kind of got to bring two sets of clothes for the day. And so usually when I go to America, I've got all these suitcases and everything because I always overpack. Or if I've gone to preach a revival for somebody, I can kind of see when I get off the plane and they meet me, they're like, you're only here for like 4 days. And they can see them looking at why you got two cases because I overpack. But on the flip side, I've seen people that have come, you know, maybe do a revival for me, and they come with a rucksack. And I'm like, you're going to be here for 5 days? You got a rucksack? And so, you know, let's not even go into that. Amen. Don't ask me who. I want you've got to protect the innocent. Eh? Hallelujah. But think about this now. It's like, so this, I was thinking about this because we recently had our marriage retreat. We had about 26 couples, I think, came to the marriage retreat. That's just Wandsworth. It's amazing. Just Wandsworth. And so we went there. We had a great time. Pastor Fred ministered to the married couples, and so it was a great time. But I was looking at the couples as they were coming and arriving and going. And so we're only there for 2 nights. We get there Thursday night, and then Friday night, and then Saturday we check out and we come back. And so it's just a nice little break for the married couples. And so everyone that was coming, usually they'd come with like a hand luggage type of bag, and you come with a little bag, and because you're only going to be there for 2 weeks. But imagine, this is just something, it didn't happen, but imagine as we're there, we're looking, and we see a lorry back up to the hotel, like one of them lorries, and one of those Bedford vans, and then the shutters go up, and then you see like a forklift come out and take a fridge out. And then it takes a cooker out, and then it takes like a washing machine out, and then you see like a wardrobe and a bed, and all of this is coming out of this lorry, and we're like, who is that? And it was one of the married couples that came to marriage retreat. We would be like, that's crazy. How many know that would be ridiculous? And if you don't know, then we'll pray for you after the service. But that would be ridiculous. And the reason why we would say that is ridiculous is that why are you taking all of this stuff when you're only going to be there a short time? If you're only going to be at the hotel, listen, I overpack, but I've never taken my wardrobe. I've never taken my washing machine. I've never taken my fridge because I'm only going to be there 2 weeks maximum. See, if you're only going to be somewhere a short amount of time, you don't put everything into it. I want to preach a sermon, Eternity, Is It Worth It? And we want to preach out of 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. The Bible says, therefore, do not lose heart. Look at someone and say, don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. Father, I pray that you would speak to us. We already feel your presence here. We thank you for your goodness towards us. I pray, Father, that you would realign our values. I pray, Father, that Christ would be glorified. Father, no matter where we are on our journey with you, speak to us
and give us what we need today. We ask you this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, and the real church said, amen. In our text here, this is a text that speaks about time and eternity. But it describes it as the temporal and the eternal. The temporal and eternal. And he makes this statement in the text. He says, for our light affliction, meaning that you're going to go through kind of a tough situation, or you might be suffering, or you might be going without, or you don't have a job, or maybe you're sick, or maybe you're a bit depressed right now, or maybe there's things going on in your life. He says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment. He says, life is short. That's what he's saying. Life is short. Look at someone say, life is short. Life is short. Now, I need to balance this off, because the Bible is the one that says life is short. And it says it all for it. It says, but for a moment. In James 4, verse 14, it says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. How many know none of us know what's really going to happen tomorrow? Okay. If you do, we'll pray for you afterwards. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. Wow. That appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The Bible describes life is short. The Bible says your life is like a vapor. My life is like a vapor. People have come, lived their life, and they've gone. When I was growing up, one of the biggest stars was Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was a big star to me when I was a kid. I remember seeing Thriller and I'm Bad and all of these. I'm not going to sing those songs. And him moonwalking and dancing. I did it quick before any phones came out. He was very influential to me when I was growing up. You're like, Pastor, we pray for you, you know. But I remember having a jacket like he had in Thriller, this red jacket, red and. And so, you know, I'd go into school with his shoulder pads. It's 80s, man. And listen, Michael Jackson was so cool. And all of these things, I could go on and on. He's doing all of this. But how many know he's gone? He's gone. That's it. Okay, his music may go on. That's fine. But he's gone. And this is what the Bible says. It appears for a little, and then it vanishes away. And the older I get, the more and more the people that I used to kind of listen to are passing away. More of these people are going into eternity. Because the Bible says life is short in James 1, verse 11. It says, for no sooner has the sun risen with its burning heat, then it withers the grass. Its flower fails, its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. The Bible says that just like how grass grows and withers, just like flowers, you get flowers, real flowers, they'll be there, you buy them from the florist, you put them in the jar in the house, and they start to blossom, and they look really nice, and they get to the apex of their beauty, and then they start to wither, and you get about a week out of them. And for a moment, they were beauty, and people were in awe of the splendor, but then it withers. And the Bible says, that's how life is. He says, that's how the rich man is. He says, listen, you may be rich, you may be powerful, you may be here beautiful, that's how the best of life is. You could be at the pinnacle, the sports star. Those of you that know, you're into boxing. There was an announcement that this guy, Vladimir Klitschko, he's retired. And so people are like, oh, because listen, you come to the apex and you go down. Some of us that got some Jamaican in us, we're a bit mourning at the moment. We're suffering right now. That song was so good, you know. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, the Lord will always be. You know, that was a bit good for us because how many know we see the same boat? Come third. We're not used to that. We were like, nah, it's fake. And then I started to hear that brother took drugs before. Yeah, he's still on drugs. Because, how many know that he's not four? I mean, he's done three Olympics. He's already beaten what most people could do. But eventually, even the glory and the strength and the power of man has to vanish. Could be here, young sister. You're beautiful. You might think, I'm the most beautiful one here. Maybe you are. I'm not mad at you. That's what Pastor Alvin Smith used to say. I'm not mad at you. Maybe you are, but listen. Soon, that beauty. And there's going to be another young lady. Maybe you're here and you're the biggest and the baddest and the strongest and you can bench press more than all of us. But then, one day. This is just the way it is in life. See, life is short when you compare it to eternity. Life is short when you compare it to eternity. See, that's why the Bible says life is short, because it's comparing it to eternity. I've got a picture of this little bug. Can we get this bug up here? Can we get this little bug? Okay, this nasty little bug. Maybe you like bugs, and so you're like, oh, you're a lovely bug. This is a mayfly. How many know about the mayfly? I didn't know about the mayfly. The mayfly is one of the shortest living things on this planet. The mayfly lives for a day. One day. Its eggs are laid in the water, and they're there, they're doing stuff, and then it hatches, and it comes to the top of the water, from the surface, and then it starts to feed. It flies around and it feeds. And then by the afternoon, it might mate or do something. I don't know how it makes one afternoon. And then it lays some eggs, and then by the sunset, it dies. That's its life. That's the mayfly's life. That's just how it is. And we're like, my days, that's so short. But it's short. Why? Because we're comparing it to our life. That's what we're doing. We're comparing it to our life. Now, I want to give you, this is an illustration. I need someone to come and help me. Kenny, hey, thanks for anything. Come up here and help me. Let's give Kenny a round of applause. Look at that smile. You've got to come up here, man. If ever I'm in doubt that sermon's going well, I'm going to get you up here, smile, amen. Everything will work. I just want you to help me stretch this out. Let's stretch this out. I just want to thank the sound guys. So, can you pull it a little bit more? Can you pull some more? Just wind it up in your hands a little bit. That's it. Keep going. Faster, please. Imagine that. Okay, that's it. Here we go now. Give me some more slack. Can everybody see me? Everyone can see me. Okay, let's think about this now. When we see the mayfly lives for a day. It's born, gets out of the egg, and starts to eat some stuff. It mates, does some work, I don't know what it does, and then lays some eggs and then dies. And we're like, that's so short. But it's short because you're comparing it to your life. So if you only live for a day compared to, let's give the average person 80 years. I don't think that's the average, but we'll just say 80 years. 80 years is a good run. How many know if you do 80 years, you've had a good run? And if you're 80 right now, obviously you want more. But, 80 years is a good run. And I want you to imagine that this cord is like eternity. This cord is eternity. And forget Kenny being at the end. There is no one at the end. This cord just goes on and on and on and on and on. This is eternity. This cord is all of eternity. And then we would say, this little piece at the end here, this is your life. This is when you was born. This is when you die. And then this starts. This is when you was born. This is when you die. Isn't it ridiculous to make all of your existence about this and ignore this? See, this is how people live. People are living for this. They're like, oh yeah, I saw someone do this illustration. That was so powerful, I stole it. It's like, oh yeah, when I leave school, I'm going to be here. And then I'm going to get a job in here. And I can't wait until, I earn enough money to go here. And then I'm going to get a nice house and go here. And then I'm going to go on holiday here. And you do all of this.
and nothing is thought about this. Nothing is thought about this at all. Some people, you will trade this. You'll trade this for all of this. See, this is why the Bible says that our lives are so short. Because, yeah, if you compare your life to the mayfly, you're like, yeah, my life, I'm living long. But if you compare your life to eternity, you will be on the same page as the Bible. Appreciate that, Kenny. See, the Bible is saying to us that our lives is short and eternity is forever. See, in life, I want to, I've lived a little bit. 44 years as it goes. 44 years today as it goes. Amen. I was going to say something, but I'm learning the Spirit is no son. So think about this now. It's not, in life, it's not that you can get things. See, when I was young, I thought, it's just about getting something. Listen, you can get things. Some of you women here, I've got a man. Listen, getting a man, getting a husband is another thing. And getting a good one is another thing. But getting a man, I can get a man. You started to develop, some things started to change in your body. You started to realize men were looking at you. I can get a man. And you started to get happy because you get, but listen, anybody can get a man. Listen, in this day and age, listen, literally anybody can get a man. Some, it's like, yeah, I got a nice car. I got this or I got that. Listen, anybody can get those things. If you wanted to sign a form or do something, you can really get anything nowadays. See, the issue is not getting things. The issue is, what did it cost you? The issue is not what you've got. The issue is, what did it cost? When I was a kid, we used to have this type of terminology. I don't know if they use it anymore. You'd say, you're a sellout. You're a sellout. That brother's a sellout. And what it meant was, well, first of all, does anybody know what that means? Have you heard that? Do people still use that? Okay, there you go. People know. So sell it. So say like you saw a guy and he was hanging with you and he was like, yeah, so-and-so did this and I didn't like it and I ain't with him no more and I ain't going to hang with him no more. And you're like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't hang with him either because, wait, remember what I'm saying, so we're not talking about grace and forgiveness. But he's like, yeah, I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that. And then you see the guy with the guy because he's got like a Mercedes. You're like, you're a sellout. You sold out, man. You was here around my house talking about that and then you saw him pull up in his Mercedes and you're like his best friend. You're a sellout. You can see it's still in me, isn't it, a little bit. God is telling us, don't be a sellout. Don't sell eternity for temporal things. Don't sell all of that for this little bit here. Don't be the devil's sellout. Do we have that picture of this, the building? That type of building. This is quite a sizable construction. Imagine you had a one-bedroom flat. You have a one-bedroom flat, but you need more space. You need more room. And someone comes to you and they say, we're going to offer you a mansion. How many rooms in that mansion? Oh, loads of rooms. It's massive. It's got towers and all of those things. And you say, all right, but what they failed to tell you is made of ice. This is like, one of these massive igloo things. I don't know if it's got rooms in it or how they lit it, but this is an igloo. How many know it would be ridiculous to give up a one-bedroom flat for a 10-bedroom igloo? How many of you know that? You're looking at me like you're not sure. This is made of ice. it'd be mad to give up a one-bedroom flat for. So if it's winter time, you'll be in. Yeah, look at this room. Look at that room. But summer's coming, and that igloo is going to melt. And it's going to fade away. And everything is going to be gone. See, we would be like, well, you sold out. It wasn't worth it. Remember, it's not what you get, it's what it costs you. Listen to what the Bible says. Matthew 16, verse 26. For what would it profit if a man gained his whole, if gained the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will he give for exchange for his soul? Let me tell you what, how this works. Is that the most valuable thing that you have today is not your car, not your house, not your Gucci belt. The most valuable thing is not jewelry or watch. The most valuable thing is not anything material. The most valuable thing that you have is your soul. That's the most valuable thing. Look what he said in the text. He said this, what would you gain or what would you profit if a man gives, if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? God says your soul is worth more than everything in the world. That's amazing. Think about this now. God has made you and I a living soul. Remember what we looked at last week. We looked at this body. We're built up of the body, the soul, and the spirit. And we said that the soul is who you are. The soul is who you are. Right now, you're sitting here, and your body is getting older and older and older. And we look at your body, and some of you are bigger. Some of you are smaller. Some of you are younger. Some of you are older. Some of you are darker. Some of you are lighter. That's just your body. But your soul is the real you. See, when God breathed into Adam, the Bible says he became a living being, a living soul. You are a living soul, and you're going to last for eternity. You are a living soul. You've got to understand it, that God has given Courtney this valuable thing, is his soul. And God has charged you the responsibility of your soul. You are responsible for the soul that God has given you. I'm not responsible. This is why you can't put all of your hope in the pastor. Because I've got to be responsible for my own soul. I can help you, but I'm not responsible. Jesus says, your soul is more valuable than everything in this world. How many of you would like to be a billionaire? My God. Both hands. I'd like to be, imagine being a billionaire. If you're a billionaire in here, you know what it feels. Maybe one day we can talk. If I had a billionaire thing, yeah, life would be different, man. This church would be different. But we wouldn't be. Maybe I'd die. Imagine being a billionaire. And most of you would say, yeah, I'd like to be a billionaire. Okay, what if someone said, I'm going to make you a billionaire? You're like, yeah? Really? Yeah, I'm going to make you a billionaire, but this is the cost. Because remember, we said it's not about what you get, it's about what it costs you. To be a billionaire, I want your sight and your hearing. Some of you are debating. Listen, this sermon is not working. That's it, forget it. Let's bow your heads. Now, let me elaborate it more. To be a billionaire, but you would never see again anything as long as you live. To be a billionaire, and you would never hear one sound again. And so you'd be blind, and you'd be deaf, but we'd give you a billion. How many of you would say no? Everybody's hand has gone up. Okay. Think about this now. Okay, no one's here going to sell it for a billion. No one's going to sell their sight or their hearing for a billion. What about a million? Don't make no sense. Okay, it's going to make sense. What about 100,000? Somebody went, oh, maybe. What about 10,000? What about for a job? What about for a boyfriend or a girlfriend? What about for people to like you? What about for your life to be a little bit more comfortable? You would, you, those things, of course, if I won't sell it for $1 billion, I would never sell it for any of those other things. I want to tell you today, your eyes, your sight, and your hearing is going to pass one day. When you die, those things are going to die with you. Your physical sight, your physical hearing. Your soul is more valuable than your eyes. Your soul is more valuable than your hearing. We would not sell the temporal for those things. But how many people will sell their soul for $10,000? How many people will sell their soul for a boyfriend or a girlfriend? How many people will sell their soul for their life just to be a little bit more comfortable? How many people will sell their soul just so that people will like them? How many people will sell their soul for a job? That they'll sell, your soul is going to go on. Right now, your soul is with you. It's going to go on with your body. And then your body dies, but your soul is going to go on. And it's going to go on in one or two places, depending on what you did here. If you live for the temporal, the selfish, the self-seeking here, then you are selling your soul. You are selling your soul. You're trading. Every decision you and I are making, we're doing a trade. Every decision. I'm a married man. I've been married a number of years. Frances is my wife. Say if another woman comes to me and I'm like, no, I've made a decision. I'm trading. I say no because I'm trading that pleasure for a better marriage. That's a trade. Maybe, you know what? I go through a troubled time and then, you know, something comes up. Oh, what? Leave church so that you can do that. No. I'm not doing that. It's a trade. I've told you the story many times. A guy came, I got offered a job, and they said, listen, we want to send you to Germany, and it's on a Sunday. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to be in the house of God. And God saw me through, because everything we do is a trade. Second Corinthians, verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but which are the things that are unseen. For we do not look at the things that are seen. Is your whole life about what is seen? Or is this, have you put a priority on what's unseen at this moment in time? He says, for the things which are seen are temporal. This is an amazing insight. This is an amazing insight that's been in the Bible for 2,000 years. Because, why is this an amazing insight? Because this is written, Paul writes this in the Bible before the law of thermodynamics is discovered, before the law of entropy, before we understood everything is in a state of decay in all of the universe. He said, listen, everything which is seen is temporal. Everything. Any of you tell me anything that you've seen is eternal. Anything that you can get or earn or get that's eternal. There's nothing eternal. 2,000 years ago, the Word of God is there. The Holy Spirit inspires Paul and says, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And he goes on, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He describes a light affliction. Now, Paul wrote Corinthians. Paul was the pastor that started that church. And if you know anything about Paul's life, Paul was beaten, whipped, shipwrecked. How many know we wouldn't say that's a light affliction? They'd be like, wow, this is long. This is long. Getting beaten for the gospel. We would say this is not a light affliction. But Paul says, he describes it, and he says, yeah, this stuff that I'm going through is a light thing. It's a light thing. It's but for a moment. It's just for a moment. Paul is looking at his life in this context. He's like, yeah, I remember I was beaten here, and then some guy betrayed me there, and they locked me up there, and then I had a shipwreck here. But Paul says, this is just a light. This is but for a moment. Because Paul puts it in, he's looking at this. He says, the things which are seen
is temporal. The things which are eternal are unseen. Paul says it's a light affliction.
Romans 8, verse 18, look what it says here. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. He says, the problems that I have, this suffering, how many of you have ever suffered in this life? Yeah, you've gone through some tough times. Ever felt discouraged? Felt like giving up? Felt a bit like life ain't fair? Gone through some stuff? Listen, he says, if you've gone through that, that is nothing to be compared with what's coming. Nothing to be compared with what's coming, Christian. What does it mean to nothing is compared? Let me show you here. Nothing, things that you cannot compare. And so we got a slide here. When you cannot, when you don't, you can't compare. So that, think about this now, the average wage. You know, most of us here, we're not ballers, we're just living the average wage. And so you cannot compare our lifestyle to this guy's lifestyle. How many know this? This guy's a, how many know who he is? Someone's like, is that a school teacher, headmaster? That's Bill Gates. Like, he's not like, you know, I preached a sermon the other day about charging the key, the electric key. He's never had to do that. I don't think he's, well, he's not doing it now. He's got, I saw this thing, one of these, either him or one of the other guys at Microsoft, they bought a mansion. Now, his mansion is like bigger than this building. But he's like, but I don't want people coming around me. So he bought all the mansions around it. Come on, man. I mean, no, you can't compare our life to that life. You can't compare. It's not a comparison. Next one. You can't compare. A little kid, yeah? And so how many know little kids like to jump up and down? And so imagine if we said, jump as high as... Next. How many know these are ridiculous comparisons. How many know they're ridiculous? It's ridiculous. This is a rocket. This can go to the moon. This can break. A child jumps like a millimeter in the air. I know it's because it's your child. You're like, oh, you're so high. You're like a rocket. It's not like a rocket. Stop it. You can't compare the two. All right, let's just go to the next one. I didn't know you were going to put that up. So, Don't worry. So basically, we're not dissing nobody. I don't know who this is. So we're not dissing nobody. I thought he was going to say average woman. The average woman. So we're not dissing nobody. Yeah? So you forgive me? Say, I forgive you. Because it's your birthday. But the point I was going to make is this. You cannot compare the average woman to... to this extraordinary woman here. Now, this guy's just like scared. Like, who's looking at her? This guy's getting nervous. You can take it off now. The point I make is this. Some things you cannot compare them. You know what Paul says here? Paul says, the struggles that you go through now, just in case someone, that was my wife, by the way. That weren't like some chick I picked up somewhere. That was my wife. Amen. So, yeah. Paul says this, the struggles you're going through now cannot be compared to the glory. It won't be compared. Think about this now, and I want to preach about this in a few weeks' time, and I'm still studying it and meditating and praying on it. Not the next sermon, but the sermon after. I want to preach about the glory of heaven and eternity, and my mind is boggling myself because I think, you know, when we say heaven, we think of people on clouds and bows and ring, ring. It's not that. It's far more glorious and far more better and far more marvelous. And Paul says, listen, what's going to happen here in eternity, and it's going to go on forever. And this is the amazing thing. It's going to get better and better and better and better and better and better and better. And there is no bills, and there is no depression, and there is no sickness, and there is no loneliness, and there is no poverty, and there is no disputes and arguing and issues and betrayal. And there is none of those things here. And he says, listen, this little thing I'm going through right now, I may be beaten right now, I may be struggling right now, I may be alone right now, it may be difficult right now, but it's nothing to be compared. It cannot be compared. See, what he says is, he's not saying that he's not going for anything, but he says, listen, these struggles are nothing compared to what I'm going to get. You know, in our church, we've had a lot of babies born over the last few years. You know, we had a season of marriages, and so what comes after marriage is a season of babies. And so we've had, and we like it that way round as well. And so, the reality is that, you know, seeing, it's amazing for me, seeing, you know, these young men that came in, roughnecks, and some of them smooth necks, but, you know, and they get saved, and they get discipled, and now they're fathers. They're fathers, man. And, you know, Questy's going to be a father soon. Amen. I don't know where Bola, oh, Bola, there you are, Bola. We're praying for the baby. Amen. That baby could drop any minute. I said, if that baby drops tonight, I'll never forget that baby's birthday. Amen. But think about this now. All of these babies, but, you know, you see these guys becoming dads, but the other side is seeing these young women becoming mothers. It's glorious. And seeing them with their children and becoming, you know, just mothers and caring and women and mature. And they love their children. But how many know having a baby is painful? And mothers, you could say amen. Yeah, it's labor. It's painful. So they go through this pain, and then they have their baby. They go through this pain, but then they forget about the pain for the beauty and the glory and the joy of the child. I've never yet met a mother that said to me, oh, it's so painful. I wish I never had the child. Never, never, never have I met that type of woman that would say, listen, sis, if you could press a button, we could remove the memory of the pain, but we take the child away. Yeah. No mother would do that. She'd say, listen, forget it. What I went through was nothing for the joy of having this beautiful child. I love my child. You went through the pain, but then you have the beauty of the child. See, that's what Paul is saying. We've got to go through some of the pain. But when we get to the glory, it will be nothing. It will be but a moment. Every sacrifice, I want to say this to you. Eternity is a bargain. Getting to heaven is a bargain. You ever, how many of you have ever really had a decent bargain? You ever had a good bargain? Like got something really cheap? You're like, oh yeah, that was a bargain, man. Got something. My wife, I remember there was a time my wife wanted this dress. It was expensive, man. We kept walking through John Lewis. It was like, oh no, it's too expensive, too expensive, too expensive. She walked through John Lewis. It was like not even half the price. It was a quarter of the price. She was licking her lips, speaking in tongues. She picked it up. And I was like, why are you so happy? She said, I've seen this for months. I've walked past it. And I want that. I said, listen, that's how we've got it. Pulled out my card. Yeah, look, she's laughing, man. She's in the spirit. Serve God for this long. Serve God for your life, and you get this. That's a bargain. That's a bargain. I don't know about you. To me, that's a bargain. And this is life. This is existence without any sorrow. This is what your soul was really made for. Fellowship with God and the fullness. And anything that you would say has made you happy, times it by a billion and quintillion and a Googleplex and everything else. And that is going to be the... Then we're going to start to understand. We've just sniffed what heaven is like. Heaven is a bargain. You've ever had a bargain, you know what a bargain is. And I want to tell you today, do everything you can to live for Jesus' name. Today, I'm 44. I got saved, I believe it was the 17th of January, 1996. I've been living for Jesus for 21 years. Have I gone through struggles? I've gone through struggles. Have I messed up? Listen, I've messed up. Made mistakes. Have I wanted to quit? I've wanted to quit. Have people let me down? People have let me down. Have I felt that, you know what, this is too hard? I've felt it. But I've always thought, I can't give up. And I've done everything I can for 21 years. And I don't know if this could be my last birthday. This could be your last year. I don't know, but I want to tell you this. Do everything you can. Do everything within you. Push through all of your problems. Push through. Make the sacrifices, no matter how hard it is. Give up. Maybe you're going through something that's so discouraging and so hard and so difficult right now. You feel, you know what, oh, this is, I'm enduring the pain. It would be so much easier. I want to tell you, do everything you can to live for God and know God and let God and surrender to God now. Because it's going to be worth it. It's going to be so much worth it. Eternity, is it worth it? I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.